There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
But let's move on to our top story this hour. And authorities in the UAE are warning parents about a new app-based game, which they say is making youngsters compromise private information. Mohamed Suleiman from the ARN News Centre joins us in the studio to talk about the story. Good afternoon, Mohamed.
Afternoon, Claire. How are you?
Good, thank you. Start by telling us more about this new game. It's got parents and authorities worried. What is it?
Right, so this new game is called Mariam. And like you mentioned, Claire, it is an app-based game that was only available on the App Store from late last month. So in the game, users basically have to help an animated girl named Mariam find her way back home after she gets lost in the forest. Now, users do this by answering a series of personal questions. So they'll be asked for things like their home address. They'll be asked to give their YouTube account and the names of their family members. And the more questions they answer, the closer they get to getting the girl home. Now, the whole thing has a very eerie feel to it. I actually have not played it myself because I don't want to get compromised, but I did watch videos of it on YouTube, and it's clear that there's frightening audio and visual sound effects and all that kind of stuff. So the whole thing is kind of creepy. Now, of course, the main thing that has gotten the police worried is this free flow of personal and private information. This is different from Blue Whale. If you remember, a couple of months ago, we had the Blue Whale thing where kids were actually playing a game which would end in them harming themselves and even committing suicide to a certain extent. But this is more about the exchange of information. They've urged parents to be careful about what kinds of things their kids are sharing online. Earlier today, I spoke with Dr. Swaliha Afridi, who is a clinical psychologist and the managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia. I began by asking her why this game is worrying from a child development point of view.
On two fronts, I find it to be very disturbing because, one, the children are actually going out there and doing things that they're not thinking through. They're sharing information which could be exposing them to breaking laws. You know, it's sensitive issues like political issues that they're discussing on there, or they don't actually know what they're doing and they don't even know the laws they might be breaking. Secondly, they actually don't think through that information is out there. I know that the maker of the game said that they don't store this information. But once you put anything out into that world, it is up for grabs for anyone. So I don't actually believe that. And so you're exposing your family, you're exposing yourself, you're exposing your future in a way that you actually haven't thought through.
This is pretty scary, especially if you don't realize that your kids are playing this. Now, what should parents do if they find out that their kids are playing a game like this one? How should they go about it?
So when I asked Dr. Saleha from the Lighthouse Railway this question, the first thing she told me is that kids shouldn't be allowed to play something like this in the first place. Prevention is always the best cure. Parents need to set boundaries for their kids, and they need to know what their kids are getting up to on their smartphones and their laptops. But if they do find out that their kids are playing something like Mariam, here's what Dr. Saleha said the approach should be like.
I would actually work through why they were actually interested in playing this game. What are they getting out of it? You know, is it a source of community for them? Is it a source of validation for them? Is it a source of self-expression for them? And if they are getting these things, which is very natural and normal for kids to want in their childhood and adolescence, they want expression, they want community, they want validation, then I would want them to find healthier ways of doing that, and hopefully in the real world and not in the virtual world.
That was Dr. Swaliha Afridi, who is a clinical psychologist and the managing director of the Lighthouse Arabia, explaining how parents can approach their kids if they've been playing this game. She also told me that this was a good chance to open up a conversation about privacy and information. Here's what she said.
I would talk about dangers of engaging in these sorts of activities. You know, this is a great way to sort of start conversations, which, you know, they can be generalized to any other game and any other, you know, it could be people that are, you know, approaching them on Facebook or on Instagram. These are conversations to be had with kids. More and more, we are living in a virtual reality where parents are not as tech savvy. It is a fact, researched fact, that we don't know what our kids are doing online. We are not as fast as they are. We're not up to speed as they are. So I think it's important to have these kinds of conversations as to what you should share, what you should not share.
Yeah, I mean, kids are always a step ahead of us, as she says just there. And if they are a step ahead of parents when it comes to technology, how can parents keep up and protect them against things like this, Mohamed?
Yeah, right. I mean, parents always do seem to be playing catch-up when it comes to anything to do with technology. But how can they keep up? One solution or method that has been discussed is community parenting. And this is when parents work closely with each other to share and find out ways to control what their children are exposed to online. It just doesn't have just have to do with something online. online, but anything at all in terms of parenting, any kind of concerns that you have, you get together with other parents, see what's worked for them, see what methods they're using to monitor their kids, and you basically share best practices. So here's Dr. Salha Afridi once again explaining what parents can do to make sure they don't get left behind.
If you're a busy mother or a father, it's really hard to stay on top of these kinds of things. So I think parents also need to form a community of some sort where they're learning from each other about things like this. Blue whale, we didn't know about, and kids started really, really harming themselves. And now, Mariam, we're coming to find out when kids are really exposing themselves. So we're almost like three steps behind our kids. We need to find a way where we can get ahead. And I don't know what that way is, but I do believe that forming communities of parents who can learn from each other, who can grow from each other, who can discuss these kinds of things with each other, and then go to our kids, I think would be the best way.
That is, I think, quite good advice, and particularly, you know, with parents just communicating on social media and saying, this is out there, just check your kids. Are your kids doing it? You know, what have you done about it? Or things like that. Have you seen it? And warning them against it, I think it can be really valuable.
Yeah, and also individually as a parent, I guess you do have a responsibility that before you give your child a smartphone or a laptop or an iPad, that they know the rules, they know what they can and can't do, right? So here is Dr. Salha one more time explaining more about setting ground rules before handing technology to your kids.
There are, you know, values being communicated to our children. There are norms, attitudes, beliefs, all of these things that are being communicated to our children. And we need to be really, really careful before we hand over the phone or the iPad and just sort of walk away. We need to know that we literally have armed them with something that could be quite dangerous. Just be very thoughtful before you introduce technology to your children and make sure that you have the ground rules set and let the children know that it is not a right that they have, it is a privilege that they have, and it can be taken away if they abuse it.
That was Dr. Salha Afridi from the Lighthouse Arabia explaining more steps on how to sort of arm your kids with the right knowledge before giving them technology.
Well, great to hear from her and to get some advice for parents on this, Mohammed. Just remind us again of the top line, the name of the game that police are warning us about.
So the name of the game is Mariam. It's an app-based game that has got police and parents around the UAE worried. The main thing is that information is being shared very freely on this particular game, and more kids are playing it than the authorities thought they were. So just a warning, if your kid is playing this game, to, I guess, a closer eye out.
Discourage it.
I guess so, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Mohammed Suleiman from the ARN News Centre, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on, coming up shortly, we're going to be talking about the health of our coral reefs and some very interesting research coming out of Abu Dhabi.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome to Drive Live. Claire and Sally with you, 4001 or the free messenger app if you want to chat about anything we're talking about tonight. We've just had a very interesting report from Mohammed about this app-based game called Mariam that police are warning parents about because not healthy for children. It's getting them to give away too many personal details. A message here, no name on this one, Sally, says parents should hack into their kids' devices. I'm not sure if that's what the experts would recommend, but I think it is good to talk to your children, Sally, about what they're using online and what games they're playing and what social media they're using so that you are savvy about those things too.
Yeah, hopefully you can start that conversation. Make sure it's something that you talk about regularly. It doesn't just come up when there's something that is unsafe, but you have those conversations. Often, if you see something that disturbs you, share it with them and let them know what they need to be looking out for and why. And you'll be surprised. Kids are smart and they will look out for those things and they will understand the danger.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you talk to them about this game and why it's not a good idea, they'll stay away. Right, moving on. Sally, a really interesting new report about the health of our coral reefs.
Yeah, this is scientists having made a breakthrough discovery that could offer some explanation as to how coral reefs will deal with climate change. Researchers from New York University Abu Dhabi examined coral from both the Arabian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman to compare any differences. Hanan Marafi has more.
Experts from NYU Abu Dhabi have discovered that corals from the Arabian Gulf are genetically different to other marine life. Local reefs were used to study climate change and its potential effects on coral reefs, with corals in the Gulf being able to survive temperatures here which are much higher than anywhere else in the world. The scientists also discovered that the corals have adapted to their conditions over thousands of years. Edward Smith, postdoctoral associate researcher at the university, tells ARN more about the study.
That's really the aim of what we're working towards. So this was the initial step where we actually noticed that there were some differences. So the next step now, and something that we're actively working on at the moment, is to really look at the genomes of the corals from inside the Gulf versus those found elsewhere to see what exactly is different. What is allowing these corals to survive these higher temperatures?
Scientists hope that this research is just the beginning of a bigger discovery that will help them understand more. Edward Smith also told ARN the importance of this information.
The really important thing here is that within the Gulf we have this really important biological resource. And by really trying to understand their biology and understand how corals in the past have been able to adapt over much longer periods of time, but have been able to adapt to these higher temperatures, we can start to really look elsewhere and see, first of all, whether there are these more thermally tolerant members found on other reefs, but also it's really to try and highlight where we can start focusing our attention, where we can try and protect these reefs. In the Arabian Gulf, it's taken a long time. We may not have that time with climate change, so we need to make our best effort to really try and protect these reefs and try and conserve them.
Experts also noted how unique the environment here is and just how important it is to protect it as a society in an effort to minimise things that will accelerate climate change. I'm Hanan Marafi reporting for the ARN News Centre.
Oh, I love the sound effects there, Sally. I felt like I was under the water diving there. I feel like we've had a couple of nice environmental stories. Yesterday, dolphin news, and today that our coral might be healthier than we thought. Here's one for you as well, Sally. The Ministry of Climate Change and Environment has commenced its yearly drive to provide financial and technical assistance to farmers here in the UAE. It's part of its priority to encourage local farming. And of course, that's very good for reducing our carbon footprint in this country. If we can grow more here, rather than fly it all in. They'll be handing out all sorts of things, 9,500 tonnes of fertiliser, manure, hydroponic and organic fertilisers as well, to help the farmers be environmentally safe as well as successful farmers. So organic farming also going to be supported by them. So it's good news.
They need all the help they can get, really. When you are trying to farm in this climate, in this environment, this is excellent. This is fantastic. And I don't think people realise how many farmers we actually have here in the UAE. And there are new technologies coming in all the time as well that are helping them to deal with this climate and help us produce our food locally.
I've noticed an increase since I've lived here, particularly the last few years, of the locally grown stuff. And I don't know if that's because they're growing more or because it's more available in the supermarket that I use. But it's like we are being encouraged now. And I love that, because if it's there and local, I will go for that rather than the imported. But sometimes the choice isn't there. But yeah, I don't know how the farmers manage in this harsh environment, but they do. So buy local, I guess, when we can. Okay, let's see what else is going on today.
In the news on the ARN News Centre app.
A spectacular celestial show will light up the skies for 3 days throughout the world starting this weekend. The Perseid meteor shower will reveal itself in the early hours of Friday through Sunday as debris from the comet Swift-Tuttle hurtles into the Earth's upper atmosphere. The Dubai Astronomy Group, and we spoke to them earlier, Sally, of course, in the week when we were going to see the lunar eclipse, will host events throughout the weekend, starting with a photography session on Friday night at Mushrif Park, followed by telescope viewings, presentations, planetarium shows and videos. On Saturday night, astronomy buffs will come together for a viewing of the Perseid in the mountains of Ras Al Khaimah. According to the group, the shower will present around 100 to 150 meteors every hour at peak times in a dark sky. That's going to look sensational.
That is utterly brilliant.
I'm going out to the desert this weekend now. That's me sorted.
I like it. Get involved. There's so much to do and you definitely want to get out there. This is interesting. More than 2,800 students in higher education across Dubai will receive grants worth 35 million dirhams. It's an initiative by Dubai Academic City and Dubai Knowledge City, which caters to both citizens and residents, and it covers a number of courses. So participating institutions include Amity Dubai University, Harriet Watt Dubai, Middlesex, Wollongong University Dubai and Eton Institute. And Chinese students are also being encouraged to enrol in UAE universities. And the Knowledge and Human Development Authority signed an agreement with the Chinese Center for Student Exchange Services in October last year to make it easier for them.
Scary one for you here, Sally, not what you want on your summer holiday. Guests on a luxury cruise ship sailing from Sydney to Dubai were forced to lay low for 10 days as the liner tried to avoid an attack from pirates. According to reports, the captain of the Sea Princess ordered his 2,000 guests to abide by a dusk till dawn shutdown, which involved curtains and shutters being drawn at night. Passengers were also asked to take part in a drill so they knew what to do if the ship was boarded by pirates. Normal service was resumed after the threat had passed and the cruise continued its 104-day journey across the Indian Ocean. This is a 10-day, for 10 days this
That's
was.
Incredible.
I'd have been terrified.
So pretending that it was a ghost ship out in the ocean.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And if you've watched Captain Phillips, you would want to get off it, wouldn't you? You would just wouldn't.
It's the last place.
What am I doing here? I'm going to holiday in the UAE next year. I'm going to stay home.
Remember the message? You'd never want to travel with Tom Hanks. It's that. Yeah, it's that same thing.
That's true. Okay.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.